We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, this is the moment you've all been waiting for.
So let me holler at you for a minute. You be posting on Instagram your ass at the gym. I'm gonna need your ass to get out of them sidewinder-ass tennis shoes. It takes everything in my power not to laugh at your ass.
I got on some damn shorts and a workout and a shirt. All right, damn it, I got some damn Nikes. Shut up. Damn with you, Larry. Kiss my ass, Larry.
You can't have your husband going out there to the gym putting pins on them bars wearing them sidewinders. Man, what's wrong with you?
Are you kissing my ass, Larry?
The only people that really care about whether or not Deshaun Watson said anything about Houston are them same soft-ass, sorry-ass dudes that eat cherries, like Joe and Tyler. Hey, T. Mills, you don't need to be eating no cherries, man.
Damn, you pissed me off, Larry. John McClain coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
The Drive is live and in color, and we are live on a Miller Lite Football Friday. Live at Stadium Bar and Grill out here in Spring. Make your way on out here. We'll be out here from 2 to 6. And just want to say, I see all of you. If you're grinning, you're in it. I see you over there laughing, Clint. I see you, Aaron. You over here laughing. Kayla's laughing. I saw a smirk from you, Michelle. My man right here in this Rack Rockets hat turned around and laughed a little bit with his napkin. Yeah, I'm talking about you, my man, in the Astros hat. He started to chuckle a little bit, too. Oh, you grinning, too? You in it as well. Every last one of you. I see you, all of you. I see all of you.
Sidewinder-ass tennis shoes.
You kiss my ass. Larry, you ain't been in the gym since the Clinton administration. You know them badass knees. Your ass will buckle if you did a squat.
Hold on, Joe. Tens.
You know you ain't seen no gym, Larry. Get your ass up. I can look at you. Larry look like somebody. Nah, man. Larry had no gym membership. You can get one for $10 at Planet Fitness. Larry ain't seen a gym membership since the 90s.
Sidewinder-ass tennis shoes.
That's one thing I told you. I can take a lot about somebody who talk about you in the weight room or talk about you at the gym. Larry ain't been in the gym since the damn 90s. Probably the 80s, Larry. So you kiss my ass. You wear them big-ass jeans that Michael Jordan wear, them wide-ass jeans. I've seen you, Larry.
Game-changing this.
Well, Jerry liked to piss me. Larry liked to piss me off.
No, he didn't like to. He damn sure did.
Hey. Hey, Larry up here talking about damn, sidewinder shoes.
I'm going to tell you, I don't even know what a sidewinder shoe is and what the hell he was
referring
to.
I'll be honest with you, I still don't, but I don't like the sound of it.
But that was funnier than hell now. I'm not even sure what he was talking about, but that was funny, man.
Hey,
go off
Larry.
The air laughing and come back on this thing laughing. That's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah,
I had a headache. I ain't lying to you. I caught myself this morning. I thought about the show and pulled something up, and I was laughing again. I had a headache yesterday because of it, and I was laughing my ass off again today, man.
Sidewinder-ass tennis shoes.
Larry looked like he probably look like he lift weights and some lugs.
Hey, the best part of it is all of a sudden it goes over to spills over to Twitter, and all of a sudden on Twitter everybody's giving you exercise advice, and you shouldn't be on that machine, and what are you doing?
Look, you should be on that machine. These idiots don't even know what that machine does. I've never seen a machine like that.
I will admit right now I'm sure.
Let me know your asses ain't never been into no damn gym. Yeah. I just hate the lies.
Wow, dude.
Kiss my ass, boy.
Hey, when he doubled down on the cherries, too, boy,
I didn't say I eat cherries. I said I like cherries.
I sure as hell do, and they're delicious, Larry.
By the way, can we stop right here? It's Tyler Milner's birthday.
Come on, man.
It's T-Mill the Real Deal's birthday. He's 37. It's Tyler's birthday. He is
37? Are you really?
32.
37? No, I'm not old like you two farts.
He's 32. Easy. You hope your little young ass gets to this point one day.
Yeah, you do a lot of dumb. You someone who think he's younger than he is by be breaking ribs and stuff like that when you go and drink.
Hey, I'm a young 32, baby.
Hey, look. At the rate you're going, you're gonna be an old ass 38. So you might want to slow down, bro.
Sound like a guy gonna have arthritis by 35?
Nah, I do a certain activity that keeps me young. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that still get you arthritis. You keep running into these floors. Nah, man, happy birthday, man.
Appreciate you.
Wish Tyler Milner a happy birthday.
How old is he?
32 years old, man.
32.
Bunch of great people were born on this day, you know. I share a birthday with Aaron Rodgers and Britney Spears.
There's a bunch of people born on that
just,
day.
It's a day legends are born, actually.
You got any of your boy bands that you're a fan of? Any of those little boy bands that have their birthdays today as well?
Britney's close. She dated JT for a bit.
JT's exceeded the boy band stuff, by the way. Don't disrespect him like that.
Yeah, he just used that as a stepping stone. But no, shout out to Tyler Milner. Hit him up on Twitter or wherever you can, and let him know happy birthday, man. We're glad to celebrate.
What are you getting for your birthday, Bob?
I'm trying to beat him to the punch because you know where he's going. So I'm trying to beat him to the punch to take that from him.
He don't need your help.
But I want to take it from him.
Okay. Well, look.
What else are you getting besides ass?
The old lady been out of town all week long. What are you getting for your birthday?
They're going to tussle tonight, baby.
What are you getting for your birthday?
See?
Tyler, I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I don't know if that fits you, bro.
Tyler ain't getting no ass, dog.
What?
I just don't know.
Tyler going to drink too much whiskey tonight. Clint, you know he ain't going to be ready to go. He's going to be tired.
Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. I can't see Tyler posted up when Megan comes walking in the bedroom with birthday sex banging. You know
laid
I mean?
Out with his
oh,
makeup.
Oh, I can promise you I'm going to make that happen.
Hey, what song fits Tyler? 713-572-4610. Tyler, because that birthday sex ain't you. I mean, you can keep playing it all you want. You know that's not you. What is Tyler coming in?
I'm trying to think of one of you. Y'all remember that old? Y'all remember Ryan's back in the day? The old restaurant. Happy birthday! We're so glad you came. happy birthday from the Ryan's. You remember that one back in the day?
I had a birthday dinner or two at Ryan's.
My dad would take me to Ryan's for my birthday. Yeah. I guess he knew my fat ass like buffet.
It was delicious.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's got to be something more along those lines than birthday.
It's got to be some. There's got to be some sort of NSYNC, 98 Degrees, Old Town.
There's some good ones there too.
That he's laid up because that'll get her in the mood too.
But birthday night, nah. I'm this right here. I drop meat, son.
it don't even sound believable.
Like why?
I dropped meat, son. It don't even sound believable.
Meat.
Nope, I'm done, man. I'm out. Nope. All right. Nope, I'm out. I can't even do it, dog.
Some
I
intense
meat,
penetration,
son.
Baby.
I dropped meat, son.
He's going to get us all fired, man. What are we doing?
Hey, Deshaun Watson.
She's
going to
get a pito, you know what I mean? bro? Big pito birthday.
Apparently, Jose Abreu is going to be entering the bedroom tonight. Megan, so look out.
You better have.
Deshaun Watson makes his return as we are live at Stadium Bar here in Spring. Come on out, hang out with us. Be here till 6 o'clock. Great food, great drinks. Come on out. But Deshaun Watson is coming back. He said this yesterday about his time off, in particular speaking about defensive schemes. And, hey, man, you talked about it. You hadn't played in a real game in 700 days. Like, there's going to be some – not just Russ physically, but Russ and what you're seeing. This was him talking about how he stayed plugged in, even though he's been out for a while.
I think my biggest focus was the mental part of the game, staying locked in on defensive schemes, staying locked in also as much as I can with the scheme that we have here with the Cleveland Browns and with Kevin. So trying to watch from afar and learn and see what Jacoby is seeing on the field during every Sunday. I watched every game like I was preparing myself to play. You know, I kind of knew exactly what was going on. I wasn't in those meetings early on in the year, but once I was able to be in those meetings, I was basically preparing like I was a starter that week, asking Jacoby questions, what he see and the different things that he experienced during the game. So I think that was very, very helpful.
A lot of times, Clint, Lovie Smith wouldn't have an advantage facing Deshaun Watson.
I guess not.
I don't care what defense, unless he had some of those defenses in Chicago and Tampa and St. Louis.
Pretty simple.
But you would think Deshaun being out 700 days and not playing in almost 2 years would bring on some sort of at least advantage there. And that is that should make him feel better of how he should attack or how he will attack a guy who hasn't played in a long time.
Well, look, when you look at there's a reason why quarterbacks don't always come out of the gate hot in the NFL season. They don't play much in the preseason. They hadn't played all year long of live action in the pocket. And they a lot of them, more times than not, have a slow start, right? So now you look at it from Deshaun's perspective and you're talking about 700 days. I just think the minute I heard him talking about scheme, watching, staying up on the new defensive schemes and all that kind of job, I immediately went to, all right, Lovie Smith is one of the more vanilla, one of the more predictable defensive coordinators in the game of football.
How about a positive from yesterday?
And you know, when you're really, really, really good, like the, you know, some of the teams that he's had in the past, then you can get away with that. But when I look at this particular game, Lovie has to get outside of his own skin. He has to be multiple. He has to disguise coverages and make Deshaun Watson think twice. If he lines up in that vanilla ass cover two on every, and look, I'm okay with cover two when you play it well. I love all the cover. The basic coverages are very, very effective. That's why they're still in the game today. But if you line up and you allow Deshaun Watson to get a great pre-snap read and drop back and nothing changes post-snap from his pre-snap read, then you're not doing your job as a defensive coordinator.
But isn't that what Lovie does?
Lovie does that a lot. That's why I said it's against veteran quarterbacks. You know, it's hard to do a lot of different, give him a lot of different looks. It's hard to have success for Lovie against veteran quarterbacks. They're gonna spin the ball around the park at least between the 20s. Lovie's just not a very multiple guy. When you look at what they do defensively, they're not a real multiple defense in terms of the looks or any kind of disguising. And you're an NFL defensive coordinator, a bunch of NFL players. There's a time and a place for you to get outside your own skin, and this is one of them. If he sits back there and is as predictable as he is week in, week out, Deshaun Watson with 700 days off is going to drop back and shred him.
Well, Clint, my fear is with that, and I tend to agree with what you're saying there. But see, I think his main focus is 27 and Nick Chubb.
That's fine.
And I think he's going to put probably resources towards that and focusing on that, which I wonder will that put him in a place to be multiple towards Deshaun. Like the thought of you saying he's going to drop back and shred him, I don't know if Lovie is thinking drop back and shred him. I got to stop Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and I ain't been able to stop nobody
all year. Doesn't matter.
I'll just tell you what I think his mindset. Well,
I agree with you.
You're saying he can still be multiple.
I'm saying that has nothing to do, like who he wants to stop or what his priority number one is, stopping the run, which it should be this week, has nothing to do with disguising or not disguising. Nothing. I mean, you still end up in whatever coverage you want to play. You just don't show me the minute I walk – the minute I get the play, and if I'm in a no huddle, or the minute I break the huddle, I look up and there's two safeties on the roof. I know it's cover two. I know I'm attacking right there. And typically, they'll sit there for 20 seconds and let the quarterback look at it, snap the football, play cover two just like we expected. And if you do that, I'm telling you, you're going to get torched. Lovie can still do whatever, get to whatever coverage you want to get to. Just don't show him for 20 seconds before he snaps the football. And the only reason I bring this up, look, to me, what I'm going to do moving forward, because I know you and I have talked about this, like the folks that think they're tanking and let them off the hook, the folks that think they don't have enough talent and let them off the hook, like I'm speaking directly to those folks. Like if you watch this ball game and Lovie Smith's safeties are just stagnant, standing still for a good chunk of the first half of this football game, then you need to change your opinion. You need to look at this at like, hey man, like that's not even that you're not even gonna have a chance showing Deshaun Watson, showing Kevin Stefanski, showing this offensive line a too high safety look and just staying stagnant. You give yourself no chance. No chance at all.
Yeah.
Whether you're trying to stop, load up and stop the run, or you're worried about Deshaun Watson shredding you. It doesn't matter either way. If you're stagnant against this particular football team, you're going to have a hell of a time. You're going to have a hell of a time stopping the run any way you look at it, any way you slice it. But if you're just going to sit up there and let a quarterback that, for all intents and purposes, is inexperienced for the last 700 days, and you're going to let him get a good pre-snap look and get real comfortable where he's going to throw the football, I think you're doing this defense a disservice.
As we've said, like Lovie does that 90-95% of the time, right? I mean, most teams and most quarterbacks knows exactly what yep. defenses they're looking at.
Pretty simple.
Exactly what people are going to do. The only time he mixed things up, he kind of messed with Jalen Hurts' head a little bit against the Eagles and start sending corner blitzes and start doing things like that.
Young, inexperienced quarterbacks are typically the ones that you can fool. You can get them. You can fool them into throwing you a pick. You can fool them into throwing a ball a underneath route into a cover two corner or an underneath route into a linebacker that's bailing to cover their zone after acting like they were going to rush and pass rush, right? You can fool young quarterbacks into those kind of things. You're not going to fool Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to fool Matt Stafford, Tom Brady. You're not going to fool those guys. You can fool young, inexperienced quarterbacks. And Deshaun Watson, while I disagree with what a lot of the critics said about Deshaun Watson initially in terms of him not being able to process, I believe he processed fine in terms of coming out of college. Did he have to get better? Hell yeah, they all do. No question about it. Was he an elite processor? Probably not. Not many are. But he had gotten to a point where he was doing that much quicker and much more efficient. He sat 700 days off. I got to believe he's going to backslide and be more of the guy that is second-guessing himself.
New offense.
New offense. All of it. New offense.
New
first
players,
time.
Yeah, first time in 700 days.
And I'm just telling you, all the folks out there that are no big deal, let's just get through this season and get the number one overall pick, it's a disservice. If Lovie sits up there in a basic vanilla coverage 60% of the time and just shows it to him, he's not trying to win ball games.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what Lovie does moving forward. But, I mean, I think a note to that is when you say Deshaun's going to pick him apart, it's pick him apart on the mental game even before the snap in terms of – because I bet he's got leeway to change the play to audible and change things.
Sure.
Because when you're talking about the two safeties up top, like that's just easy to run on, to change the run on, and easy to see if you're not going to kind of disguise that a bit. So he'll kill you before the snap and make things easier for the entire offense the whole way. All right, you want to take a deeper dive into Sunday's matchup against the Browns. Check out the newest episode of the Utopia podcast. I'm sure they'll be talking about all of this stuff with Deshaun Watson returning with Sean Pendergast and John McClain. It is now live on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Once again, come on out. We are having a good time. We're in spring. We're in spring for Miller Lite Football Friday at Stadium Bar and Grill. So make your way out here. We'll be out here till 6 o'clock. And it's a good time to be had out here as we get you ready for Browns Texans. All right, coming up, listen, tonight is a huge, huge, huge day. And I think it's the only real important thing happening left in this college football season this weekend. The only thing left, we'll discuss what that is coming up next.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Stadium Bar in Spring, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. As they sit there live out here until 6 o'clock at Stadium Bar and Grill in Spring, baby. It's a good time out here. Great food. Great people. Shout out to Mary Kate, who's taking care of us in a major way.
What up, Mary Kate?
Our last name's not Olson. That's right, but just Mary Kate. Nothing about her looks like a Mary Kate, but you can't control what you're named. It's much more dangerous
you
name
can.
Look.
A much more dangerous name.
More exotic, like a Cheyenne.
Cheyenne's a good one. If
I look at her, like I don't get. Is that a good? Like I don't get Mary Kate. Cheyenne, that's a good one. That's perfect. Aaron,
why do you think Cheyenne?
When I looked at her, that's what I thought. I just thought, looked at her, not Mary Kate, Cheyenne. That's what it looks like. By the way, Tyler, his sure beautiful
you
wife.
You tip well. You can call her whatever the heck you want.
I don't think you can call her whatever you want.
I'm talking about, see, I mean, I can't even have, I'm just talking about with respect, of course. I mean, would you come on, man?
But 20 years ago, you could just leave that sentence at the end of it. Walk on. By the way, shout out to Megan, Tyler's wife. Sent him up some cookies from his spot. So shout out to you, Meg.
Warm Tiff's treats, baby.
Mm. She gonna wear Tyler out tonight. I'm telling you what, boy, I'll tell you what. You
damn right.
Look out, man. You better look out. All right, man.
She gonna come in dog tired. That's why she's sending you cookies
off the
right
road.
Now. You gonna come in dog tired and be like, "Hey, baby, did you take care of them dogs when I was gone?"
Tyler got 14 monsters and 13 Red Bulls.
And a blue shoe.
You better get ready. Tyler, you better suck. No, hey, you ain't tired.
All joking aside, Tyler's going to have two monsters down and a blue chew when he picks her up.
How many
revved
monsters?
Up, I mean, ready to go, baby.
Revved up, how many? Ready to
somebody
go.
Get that man an energy drink endorsement. That's what Tyler needs right there.
No
he's
question.
Picking, he's drinking a monster right now, literally.
No question.
All right. Tonight, man, Clint, honestly, I think this is the only game that – really has any kind of implications on the college football playoff. I refuse to believe that TCU getting into the Final Four no matter what happens against K-State tomorrow. I refuse it, damn it. There are three undefeated teams and no team that has two losses or another team that got blown out on their home field when the other team didn't have its best player can jump TCU if they lose a game against a top 12 opponent, top 10 opponent. So I refuse to believe that. So to me, the only game that is going to have significance, now I'm not even going to let you, Clint, try to tell me that TCU game matters. The only game that has real implications on the college football playoff is the game being played tonight, and that is number 4 USC against number 11 Utah. Utah is the only loss this season for USC. They lost on a two-point conversion, and that's how they lost this game. This is the one. And, Clint, I have never rooted for the USC Trojans harder in my life. There is nothing more that would piss me off if we have to sit here and watch Ohio State or Alabama in the college football playoff. I don't believe – first off, I'm tired of seeing them year in and year out. And second, I just don't think those teams deserve to be there right now, and by God, we need Caleb Williams and USC to win this game.
Look, I agree wholeheartedly with you. I love the way the college football playoff rankings are set right now with a representative from four of the five power conferences. I think it's absolutely beautiful, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Tonight's ball game is the most important ball game as it relates to the college football playoffs. This is a game where USC absolutely has to win in order to get in.
Lincoln,
And they've already been beaten by Utah once. And for those that didn't watch that ball game, you missed a classic. It was an absolutely beautiful ball game. Utah at home goes down and scores with under a minute left in regulation and a chance to tie it up. They elect to go for two. They get the two-point conversion, win the ball game 43-42, and it was an absolute shootout. I went into that ball game thinking there was no way in hell that Utah could play with USC in a shootout, and boy, was I ever wrong. Cam Rising went off.
Yeah, he went off.
And I'm going to tell you what else. I learned who a guy named Dalton Kincaid is a tight end for Utah, and while his numbers throughout the season,
I don't know who he is.
Well, they're not gigantic. The numbers aren't. They're not just eye-popping.
Oh yes, he did. He was going off in the fourth quarter. They couldn't handle him.
He went for 234 yards against USC. Now USC is one of those that they're a little bit more sack oriented than they are being a tough defense across the board. They got a good pass rush. They can cause your quarterback some problems. But Utah has the ability to kind of nullify that with the run and with their big guys up front. This is a kick-ass ball game to watch any way you slice it, just this matchup. I think it's going to be another shootout. And in terms of the game absolutely meaning the most in all of college football, this is it. I'm going to tell you this, though. I'm not going to pull the old, well, it's hard to beat a team twice in college football. I hate that. I hate that. That USC-Utah game, 6 weeks ago has nothing to do with this ball game tonight. Yep. Once, twice, it doesn't mean anything. Here's the deal, is Utah had to be damn near perfect. Not only did they get the two-point conversion.
They had to have some luck, too.
Bro, not only did they get the two-point conversion to win the ball game late, but they were 3-for-3 on fourth down. They were 7-of-13 on fourth down, which I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but that's plus 50% on third downs. They were absolutely flawless down the stretch, and USC didn't have an answer for Dalton Kincaid. I don't believe that the way we saw Utah beat USC, I don't believe they can do it again. And not because
I don't believe
I don't believe in Utah show. It's because the way in which they won that ball game, it is unbelievably difficult to play that level of football and be that efficient. I don't care how good of a team you are. It's hard to do that for four quarters the way that Utah had to do it. So I don't believe Utah can pull it together and beat USC again. And I believe Caleb Williams is primed and ready to win the Heisman Trophy and lead his team into the college football playoff.
I was going to say,
I love USC.
I don't think Caleb Williams is going to let his team lose. Like, it feels like it's going to be one of those performances. I don't think Caleb Williams is going to let his team lose. And maybe I just want it. I'm serious, man. I think I'll be angry. I will be sports angry if Alabama or Ohio State make it to that game, especially Ohio State. Yeah. That will tick me off to a point where they could run in and have to play Michigan again. Michigan don't need to play them again. They don't need to see them again. That should be done. They should be done. Damn it, done. I hope they don't get in there again.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with you. Once again, I hate to agree with you so much, but
that's the reality. There's literally nothing wrong with it. It's okay to agree with me.
I'm
a good person.
Well, typically you make it difficult, but you did a good job. You did a good job.
You just shut up and let me do my job.
I completely look, Alabama I love Alabama. They lost by four, a combined 4 points in two ball games. They deserve to be talked about as the best two-loss football team in America, no question about it. But when it comes down to this playoffs, the way that the seasons have unfolded, the way the rankings lay out right now, there's absolutely no chance that Alabama gets in the college football playoff, period, point blank. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
None.
It's fun. It's a good conversation, but they're a non-factor at this point in time.
All right, we gotta rekindle a little something because it could be very, very important to today's game as we're looking to see some of these players that we wondered if they would play this weekend. We think they will, and we've got to look at something we looked at earlier this week because it could really have a lot of effect into Sunday's game against the Browns. We'll let you hear what that is coming up next on The Drive.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Stadium Bar in Spring, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, come on out now. Get on out here, man. There's great people out here. I mean, hell, even if you just had cataract surgery, that won't stop you. Bring your ass on out here,
Big
man.
Big Tony.
That's right, baby.
Big Tony had them racks worked on, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He told me, he said, I tried to get out here on Monday. He said, Monday, they got a hell of a special bone-in ribeye, baked potato, special green beans for just under $11. So make your way on out here to Stadium Bar and Grill. Hell, not just tonight, but on Mondays as well. By the way, also, if you're looking for a more football conversation, check out The Crew, Odyssey's newest football podcast with NFL insider Josina Anderson, former cornerback Fred Smoot, and actor Morris Chestnut. Each week, players and celebrities talk about the latest going on, all the headlines across the NFL. Follow The Crew on the Odyssey app wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, is it Morris or Maurice?
It's Morris. Morris Chestnut. You don't know Morris Chestnut?
I know who Morris Chestnut is, but I'm asking you, is it Morris?
It's Morris.
Or is it Maurice?
I don't know. Let me look him up. His stage name is Morris. I believe his real name is Morris. He don't go by Mo.
I think it's an M-A-U-R-I-C-E, Maurice, instead of a M-O-R-R-I-S.
Nah, it's Morris.
Is it?
Morris.
Is it? It damn sure
it's
is.
It's straight Morris.
Damn. Who was I thinking about?
That's a son of a gun. You know Morris is Ricky. Ricky off Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, Boys in the Hood. Hadn't seen Boys in the Hood.
Shame
on you. I didn't want to spoil it. But
spoiler?
Shame
yeah.
on you, ass.
Yeah,
if you ain't
Ricky.
Seen Boys in the Hood, hell, I made my dad sit down and watch that one right there, man. He actually enjoyed the hell out of it once he sat down.
Yeah, up for Academy Award, or not Academy Award, at least John Singleton was for Best Director on that. I don't know why I have that that pointless information. But, by the way, it's Tyler's birthday, and – We see from his lovely wife Megan, apparently we've got a nickname for Tyler. She said, happy birthday, Booger Butt. Love, May.
Booger Butt?
I see y'all got that in common with y'all's little nickname.
That, now that fits, right?
Yes.
Booger Butt?
Yeah, yes. That fits. A person who said whose lady's nickname for him is Booger Butt,
I'll tell you this,
ain't laid up having birthday sex.
Yes.
Birthday sex being played up there. Someone here is in business. When your nickname's Booger Butt, they not playing birthday.
That's just
sex.
One nickname. I have several.
I'm just going to tell you this. If your old lady's calling you Booger Butt at 2:30 at 2:30 on a Friday.
Booger Butt?
You ain't banging birthday sex when she gets to the crib. It ain't happening.
Birthday sex.
I mean, it just ain't happening.
Booger Butt?
Booger Butt.
Booger Butt. That is cute. That's precious, man. I love love. I do, but that's
you love love.
I love people in love.
Hey, were both of y'all originally like this, or did y'all rub off on each other from the little silly nickname?
Well, we do tend to rub off on each other, but I'm not sure.
God, why, man? You just said
he
can't.
Curious,
I mean,
to know.
You cannot say anything. No, you just let him. You missed that. We tend to rub off on each other.
Oh, I mean, it's just,
you know what I'm saying?
Man, you can't say that.
Look, it's.
By the way, Aaron got mistaken for Tyler one more time. Every single place.
Hell, y'all favor each other. Aaron got a little more.
No,
left
we're
his
both
ass.
Just white dudes.
That's we're white dudes with beards. That's the feel I get. That's what I get.
Look, let's not be silly.
Just being honest.
Put a picture next to each other, you and Aaron, and post it. And it's more than just a white guy with a beard. It's other than you needing about another 50 pounds. It's y'all are very similar.
Damn, 50.
Every bit of it. How much you weigh, Aaron? How much you weigh?
Hey, man.
220, Tyler. If he's soaking wet, I'll kiss your tail in town square at a city meeting.
178.
Oh, he's got me by 8 pounds.
Damn, he put.
Yeah, so I was damn 42. I'm sorry, 42 pounds. T, who started the nicknames first? Serious heart attack. Who started the nickname first?
I don't know how it was forever ago, but what we started doing was trying to call each other like the most ridiculous, absurd pet names ever, like kind of ironically. That's where Booger Butt came from.
And what's yours for her? What's your matching? If you're Booger Butt,
it changes, man. I come up with stuff all the time, but I've called her Booger Butt as well.
Oh, that's bull.
A couple of Booger Butts.
You can't be the same nickname.
Clearly, she's the one. She's the one leading it.
Booger Butt.
Obviously,
she's the one leading.
Obviously,
it's a great name.
Which makes me proud. I'd be borderline disappointed if Tyler was running around choosing to call his old lady Booger Butt.
Yeah, that's rough.
Love
all right.
You, Booger Butt.
All right, Clint.
Boy,
some of these.
I bet that.
I love y'all
right,
too, Booger Butts.
Okay, they're not Booger Butts.
I hear you,
home.
Ladies.
I don't know, Michelle, maybe. All right.
Look at him perk up. Look at him. He is grinning ear to ear.
How y'all doing?
All right, listen, Clint. You've been talking about these things you want to see.
Yeah.
And it's going to start. You've got 6 games left. Well, this is the first one. And now they've got a test against this Browns team that I know they're 4-7, but you cannot look at them the same way, especially with Deshaun Watson coming back. And even though they're 4-7, the Texans have been the worst team in the NFL. Yeah. So you have to look at them a certain way. But there's something you want to revisit now that we're here, the first game of the 6 left.
Yeah,
I know there's something you want to see a lot of.
Well, we talked about a little earlier in the week 6 things that are I need to see within these last 6 ball games. At some point in time, preferably more than once, I need to see Kenyon Green in the lineup and getting better. I need to see your number 15 overall pick from this year. When you draft a guard center that early in the draft, you can't miss that.
Nope.
You just can't. That guy can't be someone that is a problem anytime you're in an obvious passing situation. You just can't have it. So Kenyon Green in the lineup and improving. The Justin McCray stuff, putting him in for Kenyon Green is fine, but if we're still doing that over the last 6 ball games of the season, the only way I know to look at it is we got some major problems with Kenyon Green. I understand a rookie year. I understand a rookie having to get acclimated to the league, if you will, but if they're so scared of his inability to pass protect that they have to spell him for – 30-40% of the snaps and get him out in obvious passing situations, then they missed on that draft.
You ain't lying, Clint. Like I, at some point these last six games with Kenyon Green, we gotta start to see some movement because right now, he looks like he can't play.
Well,
and right now we can't use the offensive line coach as an excuse anymore. I think George Warhop is very respected around the league. And feels like a guy who knows what he's doing. Yep. There's not confusion at the line of scrimmage like it was before. So you're going to start seeing something here.
That's the biggest thing is that it's not like, hey, man, this guy's susceptible to an outside rush for a guard. So his left hand, left side, a rusher, a speed rusher outside. I mean, it's outside, it's inside, it's a hands fighter.
It's everything.
It's a speed guy. It's a size guy. It's the bull. It's all of these different things. And so, again, a lot of offensive linemen come into the league, and with some of these struggles, but they're able to overcome it with the play calling, and the pass protection, and their development. So. Number one, you got to see Kenyon Green in the lineup and see him improve, and enough with the pulling him out every time it's an obvious passing situation. Christian Harris, I talked a little bit yesterday about it. I heard Miles Smith talking about Christian Harris and openly talking about elite athleticism, him making plays that other linebackers don't make. He being a player that they can actually scheme with and scheme around. That's fine. It's great. I hear you, Miles. I believe you, Miles. But as a fan, we need to see Christian Harris flash and make a big play a yard behind the line of scrimmage. We need to see him helicopter somebody on the sideline. I'm talking about with hitting him, tackling him with a helicopter. Nothing that Tyler can think of. I mean, we've got to see this guy. We got to look up and go, damn, rewind that. I got to see who that was. Not, hey, I got to watch 48. I got to watch him and see if he does something good. No.
Is it too much to ask that you see Christian Harris make a flash play in some form or fashion, won a game? Is that too much of an expectation?
Absolutely.
The rest of the way.
Absolutely. Because the other thing that Miles Smith said is that he's a guy that their plan is to play the wheel linebacker position consistently and even go over and play some Sam linebacker when you're in regular personnel, which means that he's going to play a huge percentage of snaps. And so, yeah, it's fair that we should see at least one a game. And the way in which he has to win, right, his skill set, he has to win with speed, slick, being a guy that can get skinny, a guy that can use his speed. I mean, that usually is the guy that you're like, wow.
He's a hard one for me too as well because I do want to see something from him, and I'm curious like to watch the tape moving forward to see what kind of things they're doing. To try to give him a chance to make plays you know he is by position, and I know he's playing a lot of will, but he by position is like his impact of the game can be neutralized if Roy Lopez getting his ass kicked.
Oh, yeah,
if the guys up front's getting their ass kicked. Sorry for just singling you out, Roy. But
you get,
by the way, I don't know what the hell's happened to Roy Lopez. You remember when Roy Lopez was somebody you felt real good about? Roy Lopez going down the tank. But, like, if those guys are getting on him so quickly, like, some of that is just like, damn, man, you'd like to see what he can do. But but the guys up front aren't doing their job to get back. So that's a tough one with him too, but I do one a game. If he's playing all the snaps and he's a three-down linebacker, like they said, one a game, you'd hope to see something.
Absolutely, no question about it. Jalen Petrie's another one. I mean, he is just tailed off. We've got to see him like flash like he did early in the season. The first 3 weeks of the season, he flashed big time a couple of different times. He's got to get back to that. Instead, he's flashing because he's missing tackles and missing interceptions. He's flashing for the wrong reasons. So. Jalen Petrie's got to finish strong. Nico Collins, big plays. If look, I understand there's minimal opportunity here, but there's enough opportunity for Jordan Akins to flash big time. There's plenty of opportunity for Brandon Cooks to consistently go out there and make eye-popping catches or eye-popping plays. There's no reason that as Nico Collins had damn near double the targets last week than Brandon Cooks. And I honestly can't recall one catch, which is fine. It's great. You're productive. I appreciate it. But at the end of the day, like, there's nothing memorable about Nico Collins as a Houston Texan to this point, outside of a couple 50-50 balls. He's got to pop as well, Show.
I hear you on that. Hey, what else pops right here on Sports Radio 610, the biggest place to listen to all the primetime pro and college games, brought to you by Coors Light, baby. Sunday night, you got the L.A. and Las Vegas in an AFC West battle. Also, Monday nights, Thursday nights, Sundays, and Saturdays as well. The best games are here, right here on Sports Radio 610. This is interesting. The injury report is really, really something that you all need to hear about for this game, because there are major shakeups with the Texans and the Browns for this game coming up. We'll let you know that coming up next.